my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Friday today. Hope you guys are staying safe and healthy as always. You guys are continuing to get the updates that we put out every single day on thebrowershow.com, including the latest episodes that we're posting on almost every platform that we can. And we've got a few snippets that we've been breaking down and cutting into short, like 3-, 4-, 5-minute videos and throwing them on YouTube now on a new YouTube account. It's like we're on our fifth one. And definitely some cool stuff out there, so be sure to check it out. Get the updates. Sign up for the weekly newsletter at BrowerShow.com and at Team Health Masters. Make sure you're getting all the updated news. And if you guys need anything, put the orders on subscription. So they send right to your door every single month. You don't have to touch them. You don't have to think about them. Just auto ship them right there. So, again, making it easy as we can for you guys. And I saw overnight, this is interesting. So back and forth with China now. Now they're saying that they're putting 125% tariff on all U.S. imports. They're going to ignore future retaliation.
Well, because they're saying at this point the sales are going to drop off so precipitously as far as American goods coming into the country that there's no point going any higher.
Exactly right. I mean,
but that's like, they're all acting like children. Yeah.
They become counterproductive after some point.
There's no point.
No. And so I was reading the article on this, and it was says, you know, U.S. and China are basically locked into this heat. But it's a certain aspect, tariffs just become counterproductive with everybody. So
once the sales stop, the sales stop. So what, there's no point going any further. Yeah, no point going any further. And so we 10,000% tariff.
Right. Yeah.
What does that do? It doesn't do anything. Yeah. And so now a point becomes just a mockery, and it becomes a parody, and it becomes a caricature. It's all it becomes.
Well, no,
Trump screaming, them screaming. It looks like a bunch of children up there trying to run countries. It's ridiculous.
Well, reaches the point when a $10 T-shirt now suddenly becomes $100 for a T-shirt because the tariffs are 1,000%.
No, it's not going to happen.
Where are we going to go with this? It becomes kind of a clown show. But China goes, we're not going to release as many U.S. movies now in China. All right.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the thing. We talked about this the other day in depth, and I'm not going to go into depth again with it.
Yeah.
We don't have the current infrastructure and basically factories in the United States to replace Chinese goods. We don't have it.
Not in any timely fashion.
No. Our entire – textile industry, all the towels and shirts, everything's been destroyed. It was all in North Carolina. And those factories have sat idle now, if not torn down, for 20, 30 years. So they're basically antiquated. And we can't crank them back up again. They're rusted. The equipment's rusted. It's seized up. There's nothing they can do. We don't have the workers, Austin, to basically go in and sew tennis shoes or sew garments any longer. Well, they've retired. The new girls nowadays aren't even taught how to sew. They don't know how to sew.
That's true.
I mean, very few women under the age of 50 know how to sew. I remember your mom, man, she could sew anything.
Oh, I know.
She could sew. I remember before Alexis was born, she made her like 25 outfits.
Yeah.
I mean, all these custom clothes. And they were beautiful. And I thought to myself, wow, she has the ability to do all that stuff. That doesn't exist anymore. They don't teach home economics in school anymore.
They don't teach it.
They don't teach proper history. They don't teach anything. And so they don't want women to be women. They don't want men to be men. They don't want everybody to have a specialized job description, which I kind of liked it like that, to be honest with you, like that. The guy provided, the guy protected, the guy took care of his family.
Everybody's
and his
got
wife.
Specific skill sets.
Yeah. And the
You're
wife
good at them.
And the wife took it's a Proverbs 31 wife. And they don't want that anymore because they want to destroy everything through cultural Marxism. And I have to admit they've done a really, really good job. And one of the ways they've done this, and you're gonna like this segue, Austin, Instagram's most dangerous woman. Here we go.
Yeah.
This is not a Proverbs 31 wife. Is an influencer. She's the ex of Leonardo DiCaprio. She scammed millions of followers with her rags to riches story before luring them into live with her and forcing them into prostitution and slavery.
Whoa. That's a good story.
Now, whether she did all this, I don't know, but she got 8 years in prison in a doggone Brazilian jail. This is not going to be an easy time.
No.
The victims of an Instagram swindler have shared the stories of how they were tricked into moving to the U.S. only to become enslaved and forced into prostitution by a cash-hungry spiritualist. Catishua Torres, a Brazilian wellness influence and spiritual life coach, I always love it when they say they're a spiritual life coach, was sentenced to 8 years in prison last year for human trafficking and slavery after luring multiple women to live with her in Texas and coercing them into sex work. Described as a master manipulator by those close to her, Kat, who had previously claimed to have enjoyed a romance with Hollywood heartthrob Leonardo DiCaprio, was known for her obsession with witchcraft, That's why I'm reading this, and for presenting herself as a spiritual messiah. Having began her life in a poor neighborhood in Brazil, Kat posed as having the ultimate rags-to-riches story, boasting a life of opulence online and presenting as an enviable character who partied with Hollywood elite. On Instagram, she built a million-strong following. That's pretty stout, Austin.
Yeah.
A million on Instagram by portraying a seemingly perfect life filled with luxury and wellness. But the reality behind the scenes was far more insidious, as she was forcing some of her loyal followers to work in strip clubs and to serve her every need without paying them a penny. She began offering life coaching services to people online, charging $150 for one-on-one sessions and promising to help them fulfill their dreams by offering business advice, love guidance, and spiritual counsel. By lurking behind her expertly curated Instagram grid was a scam artist willing to subject her clients to all manner of evil, including sexual exploitation, bullying, slavery, even three cases of human trafficking, which led to a nationwide FBI search. This led to an arrest and eventual conviction of the serial swindler, who last year was sentenced to 8 years in prison in Brazil from human trafficking, you know, and slavery. Now, I'm going to stop here for 1 second, and I'm going to warn you guys about this. A lot of people decide they're going to become life coaches.
Yes.
I'm just going to let you see.
It's social media is ridden with this now.
Look at me. Look at me. Look what I've done. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Pay me money so I can tell you how to do it.
Yeah, so I can show you how to be successful with this. It's basically the same thing that we saw for years and years and years with multi-level marketing back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, in which somebody will say, look at all the money I'm making with this multi-level marketing company. And I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not saying that. But a lot of them were bad. A lot of them were defunct after a few years, and people spent their entire life savings getting into these things, working and working and working, when people were lying in their upline about the money they were making, period. It's a fact, right? And so what happens is you start believing these things because you're trying to get yourself out of a hole that you've dug for yourself, or your parents dug for you, or somebody else dug for you, or somebody dug for you. You're in a hole. You went out. So you decide to start listening to these influencers online. I remember I was talking to this one lady, and she was a social media influencer, Austin.
Yeah.
She had all these followers, and she charged $1,500 for a session.
Yep, sounds about right.
And she charged like $2,000 a month. And this girl was completely broke. She was broke. This woman was broke. And finally, I asked her, I said, how are you supposed to be giving personal advice and financial advice to people following you online when you're broke?
Yeah.
I asked her that. I said, you know, something's wrong here. Because, you know, I said, you really have the ability to teach people what to do when you don't know what to do? This girl's life was a wreck. She was hooked on vaping. She was hooked on nicotine. She was hooked on prescription drugs. I mean, it was awful, this woman was. But yet she was online as a social media influencer telling other people how to live their lives. I sat there and I looked at it and I thought to myself, how odd. So when I see something like this, I'm like, wow. But then it went into sex trafficking and prostitution and all the rest of this stuff. That gets pretty serious. Now, what they do, they almost always have a common denominator. They're usually very pretty. Yeah, this girl from Leonardo DiCaprio, we have to imagine, was pretty good-looking girl. But that doesn't mean they're anything. There's a video out there. You can look it up yourself. It's the hot, crazy Matrix, Austin.
Yeah.
Now, I know I shouldn't be doing this on our show. I got it. Okay, I'm not going to play it for you, though. It is worth playing. And they said that the hotter the girl gets, the crazier the girl gets. Until they get to the point where they're insanely hot, but they're not crazy, and they're nice. And now they're nice, and they're great. But then the problem is, when they're really hot and really, really nice, he said, you got to watch out, because most of the time they're trannies. Okay?
I missed that part.
And so, I mean, so you've got to realize that there's a lot of people out there claiming to be something, but they're not. They're simply not what they say they are. You know, we talk about health and nutrition here. We try to avoid financial advice. We tell you to get a financial counselor. We try to avoid legal advice. We tell you not to do that. I try to give you information on what God is and who God is and what God wants you to do for your lives. I try my best to walk, you know, circumspectly with the Most High God out of deep reverence and basically love for Him. And I try to help you guys to do what you can as far as what you want to do in a relationship with Christ. I try to do that. I try to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling, like the Bible says with Apostle Paul. Not that I'm not certain about my salvation, because I certainly am. But the reality is that we all need to understand that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin, and we all fall short and don't do things perfect. We don't have to do things perfect. Just a newsflash. Jesus Christ did it perfect. He was perfect for us on this planet, and He died as a sacrifice for us to bring us back to God. We've talked about that many times on this show, but we just need to do the best we can. That's it. That's all you can do is the best you can, and we're all going to make mistakes. I have no halo to adjust here, none, zero halo. So, you know, I always try to tell people, do the best you can, leave the rest up to God. It's like I said to you so many times in my little German plaque that my grandmother made, zwei Lebensstützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles of life that can never be broken. Gebet is prayer and Arbeit is work. Prayer and work are the two fundamental principles of life. Not listen to some social media influencer who's sex trafficking people. I mean, be careful on who you follow online. I have no idea to this day why Kim Kardashian has followers.
Because the algorithms pushed them there, man.
Well, I don't understand it. I mean, all she has is buttock implants. Sorry, that's what they are. And basically, she runs around doing nude photos for magazines and doing this crazy stuff. She's not leading some life that's exemplary. She's basically just a social media person who basically was pushed by the media, like you said, by algorithms, by the CIA, to continue as Gloria Steinem did, to destroy the American culture and destroy the nuclear family, in my opinion.
Well, and one of the biggest things you've got to watch now on social media, because it has gotten unbelievably prevalent now with these alleged influencers. Instagram is riddled with all social media platforms. Instagram's probably the worst, though. You know, I remember when Instagram came out back, I think, in 13 or 14, and it actually was a pretty cool platform for people basically promoting different types of vehicle builds, for trucks, for cars, for motorcycles. It was a really cool platform for social media and marketing. And now it's gotten completely and totally saturated with just trash. It's just trash now.
Well, it's like TikTok.
It's TikTok. And when it happens now, and like every time you turn around, there's some other media influencer you're finding out who's got some big Instagram profile telling everybody to follow my course. I'll charge you $500. You can follow my course. And literally almost every week I hear about another one of these individuals getting indicted and arrested, having another Ponzi scheme, embezzling millions of dollars from people. So just be really careful with a lot of
you remember
people.
When Savannah was 14, 15, 16? I forgot her age, but she was about that age. And she did this video on TikTok and ended with 5 million views like within a week. It went viral. She was saying, I've got all these people that love me. And I'm like, no, you don't. They're all strangers.
Yes.
You did some ridiculous video on TikTok in which she morphed into something else. Actually, she started off real ugly on the video. And then she morphed into who she looks like now. And oh, my gosh. It blew up. And then all of a sudden now she thought she was all that. And the problem is, there are 5 million people may have watched it, but they don't know who you are. They're not part of your life. Well, they're not going to try to support you.
That's why social media is so detrimental to younger kids, especially young teenagers, because they're losing the identity of actually having to have in-person conversations, having in-person relationships, actually being able to engage with one another on a daily basis. And all they want to do is go get social validation on Instagram and social media platforms that doesn't exist. It's not real.
Well, the validation's there, but the validation's basically a counterfeit.
Right, exactly. It's not real.
No, it's not real.
It's just
they don't know you.
It's digital theater, and that's the problem. And then these kids start getting this big head, and they're 14, 15, 16 years old. Oh, I've got 5 million followers on this platform or that platform, and they start getting this really arrogant attitude. I've watched it now. You know, I had a good friend of mine who owns a truck store, a custom truck store, and he had this kid come in there who's like 18, 19 years old, and he had like a couple million followers on TikTok, and he wanted this truck lift kit and these wheels and tires. And my friend owns a shop. You know, he's in his 50s. He's been running the company for years, been successful with it. And the kid comes in, I want this, and I want for this price. I need it done this week, and I want it done. Blah. I mean, literally came in, started barking orders, telling me how he's going to do this and how he's going to do that, how it needs to be this price. And finally, my friend, he goes, I'm calling your father. I know your dad is, by the way, but no, he did. He called his dad. And he said, I need you to do me a favor. Come get your son. He's making a butt out of himself in my office, basically telling me what I'm going to do and how much I'm going to do it for. And sure enough, his dad came down there and just had a reckoning with him on that. So
had to come to Jesus meeting. Yeah. I hope.
But again, sometimes you got to get tightened up, man. Sometimes you got to realize when you're 18 years old, 19 years old, nobody cares. Instagram and Twitter are not a real place. Newsflash there, buddy.
I told Austin when he's like 14, 15 years old, and of course we didn't have all the social media.
No, thank goodness.
20, 25 years ago, I told him, I said, you know, nobody cares.
No.
The only people that really care about you in this world basically are your fellow believers in Christ who really are your friends, real friends, like those 5 you can count on one hand, the ones who will come get you out of a Mexican jail, and your family in most cases, not even family all of the time. Remember, we can always look at it this way with family. I can choose my friends, but I can't choose my family.
Yep.
I got some of the craziest people on the whole planet on my family side. They're awful. They're horrible, actually. I want nothing to do with them. You say, well, that's a terrible attitude, Ted. No, after you get kicked in the gut metaphorically, repeatedly, you kind of say, well, that's enough of that. I don't need to deal with this. If this was anybody besides my, quote, family, I would have nothing to do with them. Let me ask you a question. This is just for fun. Well, kind of fun. If you had people that you meet treat you the way your family meets you, treat you, in some cases, very badly, Would you actually have a relationship with them, or are you being forced to be in a relationship because they're your family? I'm just asking a question. If somebody's unbelievably mean to you and they're a family member, every time you talk to them, I guarantee you, you would not be a friend of theirs if they weren't family and you're being forced to see them at Christmas or Thanksgiving or at somebody's birthday party. And suddenly you go, well, I really don't want to deal with that again. Well, the reality is none of us want to deal with it very rarely. But sometimes we feel we're forced to because our parents want us to maintain peace in the family with our siblings. Well, the reality is, you know, sometimes I remember I had a friend of mine. He said one time, his mom said, well, when I pass away, you'll be friends now with your sister. Yeah. The guy goes, no, I don't think so. I've been friends with her in 20 years. Why would I be friends after you pass away? You're the only galvanizing force that even holds us together. And the only reason we're even talking to one another is because of you. And when you leave, there probably won't be a, you know, friendship left anymore. You think, well, that's a terrible attitude as a Christian. No, whoa, 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 stop. I didn't bring Christianity into this. Now let's bring Christianity into it. Let's say I'm flipping knives here, okay? And I flip a knife and somebody's sitting beside me and I flip the knife up and it sticks him in the leg. It was a complete accident. And I say to them, oh, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. That was an accident. They look at me and they go, well, I'm glad you didn't hit the femoral artery. I'm not going to bleed to death, but wow, I'm not going to ever get around you with knives again. But I'll forgive you for what you've done. So that person now is your friend, unless you grab a knife and they run out the door. They got it. They understand that you are not safe when you start juggling knives. That's an act of basically an accident. They had no intention of doing that. But now let's say this. I'm flipping knives up in the air. And all of a sudden, you're sitting beside me, and I grab the knife, and I stab you in the leg. And you go, oh, man, that hurt. Why'd you do that? Well, I just felt like I wanted to stab you. Please forgive me. Wait a minute. Why would I forgive you for stabbing me in the leg on purpose? And then you go, well, because you're a Christian, and you have to forgive me because I stabbed you in the leg. And you go, well, I'm not dying. I'm not bleeding out. I will forgive you, but you and I are done. We are finished. You have no reasoning skills, and you have no judgment skills at all. I'm not going to continue. I'm not going to take abuse like this from you. You're dangerous. So you forgive them and you walk away and you love them from a distance and you don't walk around being mad all the time because you've got a big scar on your leg. You just let it go. You say, well, we'll get it fixed and be done with all this. And we're done. Hopefully you don't get septus. But the reality is a lot of times people expect you in a family setting to take the continual stabs from somebody on purpose over and over and over again. I'm here to tell you right now, God does not expect that of you. He does not. He does not want you to get abused by somebody in your family simply because they're family. Because if they abused anybody else like they're abusing you, who's not family, they would have nothing to do with them again. And you don't have anything to do with them. Forgive them and walk away. I've seen the same thing. Family member comes to you. They need to borrow money. You help them out. Well, you never get paid back. That just doesn't happen very often. But what ends up happening is you continually give them money. You continually support them. And suddenly you need them for something very, very important in your own life. Perhaps a spouse dies or maybe something else happens. But they don't even come to the funeral. They don't even bother coming to the funeral. And you think to yourself, well, wait a minute. I sowed all the seed into this relationship, and I need your help right now, but you're not even here to say my condolences to you. You refuse to even come to the funeral. I'm offering you an air ticket to come to the funeral. I'm offering you money to drive. I'm offering you a hotel, but you're too busy because somebody died inconveniently to you, and you had something else scheduled. Those are the kind of friends, just take a little check mark and realize they ain't friends. They're acquaintances. They might be family, but they ain't your friend. Just give you some news last year. Just remember that. But those people that you call them up in the middle of the night, I need you to pray for me right now. And they drop everything and they pray. I need you to come over here and help me right now. Boom, they drop everything. They come over to help you, whether they're family or not. Those are your friends. Always remember that. That's why I appreciate you guys so much who support Health Masters, because you're my family. You're part of my 3%ers. You're the ones that support Health Masters, and we say, hey, look, we really need some help with this. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys, and you do, because to me, it's worth that relationship and maintaining that relationship because it's reciprocal. And I have no idea why I got on all this stuff today, but maybe somebody needed to hear some of this today, and maybe somebody needed to be released from a bond from a familia member. Familia, that's family in Germany, a family member who basically has been treating them and abusing them badly for years, and you need to realize that you don't have to put up with that. Just love them from a distance. That's a little bit of I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
I'm
not going to say anything else.
This is a kind of funny story here. Remember how they were saying Musk came in, he said, oh, we're going to cut like $2 trillion off the yearly budget. We're going to save all this money. They're saying now that they're expecting to save roughly about $150 billion.
That's still a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, that's a penny in the bucket compared to
our budget.
The doggone Pentagon budget's $980 billion. And so I was wondering how they were going to do all this, but they're saying they've already been able to expect to cut $150 billion by reducing just waste and fraud. It says the military would say it's a target-rich environment. And I thought it was interesting. He said they're confident they can find $1 trillion in savings now.
And, he's about out of time.
Yeah, they say they're excited to announce we anticipate savings in fiscal 26 from reducing waste and fraud by $150 billion. Like you said, it's a big chunk of money, but $150 billion ain't a trillion.
But and if they save it, it goes back into the budget. The Congress is going to just spend it again and for junk.
And that's kind of the issue we've run into this now is, you know, this DOGE is doing some really important things like cutting the stuff. But as we're seeing with the judges and as we're seeing with Congress and as we're seeing with the pushback and as we're seeing with the Democrats, they don't want this money getting cut. And all Congress has to do is start appropriating more bigger budgets on more stuff again and start adding more funds.
More pork barrel politics, more pet projects. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I was reading an article on Val Kilmer. The final cause of death was from pneumonia. And they said, and this is interesting, they said that his voice was actually AI generated in the last Top Gun Maverick. That he couldn't talk anymore. I thought he had used that voice box, but I feel sorry for him because, you know, it's my favorite line is, "I'm your Huckleberry."
I love that line. Tombstone
was probably the best acting he ever did. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal as Doc Holliday. Yep. Movie.
Now, this is wild. Speaking of USPS, which, by the way, a lot of y'all have been taking advantage of the expedited shipping platform that we have now, the option, the VIP expedited.
And you're very happy with it, by the way.
And I've got a lot of positive feedback from it. The only time we ever run into any issues where it's not there in basically like one or two business days is if we're having issues like tornadoes or other issues in some of these states. We've had a few little issues like that. But as far as faster than the post office, absolutely. And on top of that, USPS is seeking to raise stamp price to 78 cents to achieve financial stability. This isn't even going to touch financial stability for USPS. They need about 10 or $12 billion a year. As far as in a deficit they are.
Because of Amazon.
Stay operating. Wow. And some of this has to do with China, too, though. Those e-packages from China. Yeah.
Well, that all needs to stop
that
immediately.
That may stop now. That may stop with all this crazy tariff stuff in here. But they're saying basically the forever stamps are going to be going up to 78 cents a piece. And it's crazy because, I mean, I remember when stamps were, I don't know, 30 cents, 25 cents.
I remember when they were like 9 cents, 3 cents or whatever they were. It's crazy how cheap it was.
Those days are long gone now.
Long gone.
But the thing is, a lot of the stuff with the USPS, the Postal Service, it needs to be completely and totally reformed. I mean, there's no question about it. There's so much inefficiency and waste there that whole platform needs to be completely and totally revamped and made more efficient.
And just if you think there's nothing that the government's going to hide from you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Space Force.
Yeah, we haven't really covered much of that.
No, Space Force is very, very real. Trump started that
on his
first term. The Space Force commander is suddenly fired after sending an email to staff about J.D. Vance's Greenland visit. There's something else going on in Greenland. That's why they want that country. A Space Force commander was fired after she sent an email distancing herself from Vice President Vance's criticism of Denmark's oversight of Greenland. Why we think we could talk to Denmark about Greenland and try to take away their country, their part of their – Greenland is ridiculous, by the way. Vance blasted Denmark as he pushed for Greenland to become independent on a visit to the territory. Let me tell you why Greenland is basically being pushed so hard right now. They don't have a Central Reserve Bank.
Really?
They got rid of it years ago.
I didn't know that.
They had enough of it. And so that's why they're trying their best to try to get it back under the slavery of the Rothschild banking empire. And she goes, and he goes, days later, Colonel Suzanne Myers, who runs Space Base, was photographed with Vance and his wife, Ursa, during the visit. She sent an email to her staffers appearing to rebuke the vice president's comments. Quote, "I do not presume to understand current politics, but what I do know is that concerns of the U.S. administration discussed by Vice President Vance on Friday are not reflective of my Space Base," Myers wrote, according to military.com. On Thursday, the Space Force sent out a press release announcing that Myers had been removed from command over a loss of confidence in her ability to lead. Commanders are expected to adhere to the highest standards of conduct, especially as it relates to remaining nonpartisan in the performance of their duties, the spokesperson added. Colonel Shaw Lee has assumed command. Now, I find that interesting. Now, you can send me some emails on that if you'd like, but I have to agree with the replacement of her. I do.
Yeah.
You can't have a breaking command because, you know, you got Donald Trump and you got the vice president, which means that, you know, the vice president could be one heartbeat away,
right,
the president of the United
Very
States.
Quickly.
And she's going to come in there and run her mouth, you know, about something he said or something he did. I don't care if she agreed with him or not. Keep your mouth shut. Don't send out emails publicly.
Email.
Let me give you a little bit of advice. don't do stuff in writing.
Yeah.
Stuff that's controversial, the stuff that you're not sure of. Get your attorney to look at stuff before you sign stuff. My mom was real funny about that. She'd learned that in Germany. Man, she wouldn't sign nothing without an attorney's approval. Nothing. It wouldn't make any difference. She's not signing it. Because once you sign it, once you ink it, that means it's your stamp of approval. If they send you an invoice for $1,000 on something you did not get and you're disputing it, but you sign that invoice, you're getting it. Years ago, I remember I was up to taking Savannah up to a walk-in clinic, and she had to get a couple stitches because she'd cut her hand. And I remember they gave me a bill, and I paid it right on the spot.
Yeah.
And I told them, I said, they said, is this paid in full? And they said, yes.
Yep.
I said, I want you to pay them. I want you to write on that invoice, paid in full. And I want you to sign it. I said, no problem. They wrote it in there, paid it full. I signed it. They signed it. I had a copy. They had a copy. A month later, they sent me another bill for like $700.
That sounds about right.
And I'm like, and I call them up and I'm like, I have an invoice signed by your person that you basically have been paid in full. Well, yep, she didn't have the authority to do that. I'm like, it's a stitch. This is ludicrous. I've already paid you for this thing. Well, you owe us another $700. And I said, I don't think so. Here's the copy that I paid it in full signature by your person who was in charge of your office that day. And that was it. That was the end of it. I didn't have to pay it. But the reality is once you start signing stuff, once it goes into concrete, it becomes contractual. Be really, really careful. Now, the other thing, too, nowadays, because of these things, right, be very, very careful where you are, what you're doing, because everybody's videotaping you all of the time.
It's a fact. There's cameras at every business, cameras at every building, and everybody's got a walking video camera.
And I'm telling you, it's not like it used to be, where people could just look at something and, you know, people like, I don't see it with my own eyes, I don't believe it. Well, it's to the point now, I got to the point where I didn't believe it anyhow because you don't know the consequences behind it. But if somebody's videotaping you, and let's say you decide to pitch a little fit and you say things you shouldn't ought to say and somebody's got the camera on, what are you going to do to rebuke that? Harrison, my son, basically, who's a prosecutor up in Tallahassee now over in the county next to Tallahassee, told me, he said, Dad, he goes, it's amazing how people will say all of this stuff on the video cam on the officer's
desk. Yeah, on body cam footage.
Body cam.
Yeah.
And they basically confess to everything right on the video cam. And then they say, oh, I didn't say that. And then we play the video back for them. And he goes, the vast majority of them, if they just kept their mouth shut and didn't say anything, we would have no evidence.
That's why we're not giving you legal advice, but the ability for you to not say anything and your right to remain silent is a very real right of the United States. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they tell you that. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. It doesn't say in that. It can and will be used against you and possibly for you. It's against you.
It's always against you.
Just remember that if you're ever having an encounter like that.
And, you know, the thing about it, and I'm not advising that people go out and drink and drive. I'm not advising people. I'm not advising any of this. I'm not advising people to go speed. But what I am advising is remember your Miranda rights.
Correct.
I'm advising that. You know, that's
they ask you, do you understand these rights I've just read to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the people, even Harrison said that after they read them the rights, they'll then continue to tell them about everything they just did.
Well, and also, a lot of times when you're speeding or doing something wrong, you may have a memory lapse. And if the officer asks you something, you may just say, I don't recall.
Yeah.
And then you always say, I remember one time a police officer pulled Austin. I was in the car with him.
Yeah.
And we were talking to him. He's real nice. And he starts asking all these questions. And I looked at him. I said, you know, officer, I really can't talk about any of this stuff because I wasn't driving anyhow. But if you'd like to come by and watch a Florida State football game and order a pizza, I'll do that with you.
Yeah.
He looked at me kind of funny. He started laughing. Remember that, Austin?
Yeah.
He started laughing because I was being real nice to him, but I wasn't going to sit there and discuss anything else on his camera.
That's exactly right.
Because he has his camera going. And so just be really, really careful when you discuss things with people that are in law enforcement, because Austin's right. Anything you say can and will, not maybe, will be used against you in a court of law because you're now on videotape. And this little puppy right here, that gets you in trouble really, really fast. Be careful when you're around people. If you decide to blow up and have a little hissy fit, do it when no one else is around. Just do yourself a favor and don't be getting yourself on tape and getting it posted on TikTok. Just avoid all that stuff. And remember, everybody's got a camera. Just like in Florida, always remember, everybody's got a gun.
That's a fact. Remember that.
This is our state now is you don't even have to have a concealed weapons permit here anymore. Anybody can carry a gun on them concealed anytime they want. And that becomes a real problem if you decide to get road raging.
We may have, they have multiple shootouts on Interstate 4. Yeah, there's just another one in Tampa. I told you guys the other day. It was a motorcyclist. The guy was recording him. He was trying to run into him with his car, and the motorcyclist reacting ridiculous. All of a sudden, the motorcyclist comes over his left hand, pulls pistol out, and starts firing into the car. Going down the interstate at 70 miles an hour. I'm like, yeah. Wild West down here. Okay.
we're having iguana roundups now in Miami and Palm Beach.
Oh, they've been doing that for a while. They got the air guns.
So we have these giant lizards that run around.
They're big.
They're really big. They don't stop growing.
Well, the problem is that now they're starting to eat small dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
They're big.
I didn't know they were eating small dogs.
They're eating everything, man. Dude, wow. Some of these iguanas are 3 and 4 and 5 feet long.
I wonder if they can eat some cats.
I have heard, though.
Feral cats. Only feral cats.
They have cut down on the rodent mice and rat population down there, though. The iguanas are eating like all the rodents. So there's not a rat problem anymore down there. Now I got an iguana problem down there.
And now I'm going to get letters about cats again. And, you know, I had a cat. Yeah, it showed up one day. It was a Burmese. Good cat. And finally we got rid of it because it took a big dump, you know, got in the house and used the bathroom on a bed. And so that was it, done. And we gave it to the Humane Society. I did not have it euthanized. And it's interesting that, you know, that people get so upset when I talk about cats.
Well, the other issue we're running out to is the giant anaconda problem down in the Everglades.
We're spokespeople for the tourism for Florida.
Yeah, we're supposed to get out there and hunt them. Everybody's been asking if I want to get out there and hunt them again. They're having a bigger. They're exploding again.
The pythons?
The anacondas. And the pythons.
These are big snakes.
They're getting big.
Let me tell you a story. You guys like my stories. I had a guy named Joe. He lived like three doors down. Great guy. Now, Joe Crane was his last name. Great guy. Good friend. He's an old dude. He'd lived down in Miami for years and years and years, and used to go hunting in the Everglades. I don't know what you get a permit for and hunting in the Everglades.
Oh, you can get down there.
I don't know. But he was out hunting one day in a hunting party, and they had a big lifted vehicle.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there's a giant log in front of them.
Yeah.
Across the road. And they're like, you've got to be kidding me. They don't want to run over it with the vehicle. They want to get hung up on it. So they decide to walk out and move it, and it slithered off into the swamp. Yeah, the log did. And he told me,
it wasn't a log.
He says, Ted, he goes, we got some serious snake problems down there. And of course, he moved up to Central Florida. He'd had enough. The problem is Florida is connected by waterways. The entire state is, because it drains out into the Everglades from Central Florida down and from North Florida down. And this stuff can get up here now.
No, it has. It will.
Because last year I went on an airboat ride. That was connected to the Kissimmee River.
Yeah.
Right down into the Everglades.
Oh, yeah.
And there was like no wildlife. Birds were gone.
No, but they're starting to be dissipated.
Yeah, the only thing I saw were gators. So we got gators and snakes. Let's go jet skiing. Let's go. And we wonder why water skiing has made a big drop off as far
it
as.
It has.
Oh, my God.
It's slowed down a lot.
The other day I was telling you the story. I was over at Mike Florentino's restaurant. Great restaurant. Florentino's in Davenport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, no, it's not Davenport.
Haines City.
It's on Highway 27. And I remember I was there, and some guy was there with they've got gators everywhere. You know, don't feed the gators. And he has a little one-year-old baby running around by the water.
Right in the water?
Right, splashing in the water.
About that. Yeah, no.
And I walked over to him. I couldn't deal with it because I didn't want to see what I didn't want to see, right? Some gator taking this child like he did at Disney a couple of years ago. And I walked over to him, and I said, dude, are you from around here? Oh, yeah, we're born in Florida. I said, you know, this is feeding time right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
sun's going down.
I mean, there's gators like 20 feet away under the water looking at your boy right now. And he goes, oh, they won't get that boy. I'm like, you cannot run a gator. They run 30 miles an hour.
They're fast in the water.
And they're faster even in the water. And I said, you might want to get him away from the edge. Oh, that won't matter. I'm like, whatever. You know, I said, I let you know what I want to let you know. And you think to myself, did you really do that? Yeah, I actually did that. Because I don't want to see that kind of stuff. Because a lot of people come from up north, Austin.
That's a fact.
And they have no idea that if you walk beside the waterway with a little dog on a leash, that gator may come up and take that dog or that child. This kind of stuff happens down here, especially with the pets, all the time. I've seen a gator go over a chain link fence, climb it like a lizard to go get a dog on the other side. You watch it on the bottom, you watch it on YouTube. Gator climbs fence to get dog.
They do that all the time. That's not abnormal at all.
Walk outside of the morning.
Dog's gone,
and you got a gator in the pool with a big bulge in his stomach.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's great. You got to love Florida. We're spokespeople for this state. What's your next story, Austin?
Spokesperson for cleaning up the country, too. Unfortunately, a federal judge now, like these judges, man, have been turned into a nightmare, has now blocked DHS from revoking 530,000 immigrants' temporary legal status now. They said the judge says the administration is targeting people who are just following the rules. Doesn't matter their behavior or what they're doing. The federal judge said they are blocking the Trump administration from revoking the temporary legal status of hundreds of thousands of individuals from other countries here.
If they really do have legal status to be here and they've gone through proper immigration channels, you got a problem with that one.
Here's the issue is they're getting temporary legal status. A lot of this means they have a court date. So they basically have the ability to stay here until they go to court. The problem is, as we've seen a lot of times, some of these individuals are involved in very illicit, illegal, violent behavior before they ever reach the court system. So there's a balance of this because you're right. If they do actually have temporary legal status, you can't yoke it. But on the other hand, too, what do we have to continue to put up with? I mean,
remember we talked about this the other day. Our Constitution was put together for people that are godly,
right?
Who basically want to follow the rules,
and it still want to come here. That's the thing.
And it's woefully inadequate for people who are going to basically bypass rules and try to manipulate it, including our own Congress and Senate. In fact, right now the Darien Gap is now a ghost town. Israel was using the Darien Gap, and the Catholic Church was using the Darien Gap to bring millions of people into the United States illegally. Now it's a ghost town. This is an interesting little article. It says, in an article published today at the New York Post, journalist Emily Crane described the Darien Gap route now as a ghost town after just 4 months of illegal migration crackdown by the Trump administration. That means that you could actually have done the same thing with Biden, Austin, if they had shut the doggone down through the Darien Gap. In 2023, immigration through the Darien Gap trenches smashed records more than 500,000 people in 1 year, making the grueling crossing, according to Panama's government. In a few months since President Donald Trump took office, with his tough stance on migration, his administration effectively cut off access to asylum along the U.S.-Mexico border, and with all migration took a sharp dip in the final year of Biden's administration, it showed to a trickle with barely 10 people now crossing a week instead of 500,000 a year, 50,000 a week. I mean, unbelievable. And just like that, it was not 50,000, 5,000 a week. And just like that, 10,000 a week. And just like that, the rates of sexual assault, rape, robbery, and kidnapping across the Darien Gap basically has plunged to new lows. You know, this is unreal. It says, Doctors Without Borders, you know, medical teams in southern Panama provided care to over 214 survivors of sexual violence just in December of 2023. More than a sevenfold increase compared with prior months, despite a lull in migration through the dangerous Darien Gap in the same period. I mean, this is crazy, and we talked about this, and all these kids that were being trafficked, and all these perverts are showing that. But the ghost town Darien Gap doesn't make less violent crime in the world, but a cleaner environment, too. The Gap and its people have suffered heavily under the huge levels of pollution and littering due to the amount of migration traffic. Remember when the indigenous tribes in the areas decried the situation, sounding the alarm on the destruction of the jungle, right? They said that basically they've had relied on the jungle for hundreds of years, relying upon the local ecosystem to provide for all of their material needs, are sounding the alarm on an unbelievable destruction they brought by over 1 million people at least who made the journey into America through the Darien Gap. This is insanity.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, we talked about the Darien Gap 2 years ago on this show and what was going on with Israel and the Catholic Church pushing so many of these people through the Darien Gap. What's your next story, Austin?
This is another health story that came up now. A new research study showing that sugary drinks are linked to an increase in oral cancer risk among women. This is interesting. This is talking primarily about sodas. They're saying women who indulge in just one sugar-sweetened beverage per day are nearly five times more likely to develop oral cavity cancer than those who sip on drinks infrequently.
That's interesting.
That's one a day, five times more likely.
I wonder why it's just women.
I think that's all they did in the study. They should have done male and female. I think they isolated it just women. They said the results from the study suggest we need to consider dietary impacts on cancer risk as we develop public health recommendations. They said the unexpected risk, they said they had been associated with older men who are at risk of factors including tobacco use and alcohol consumption. However, in the new research, they suggested the disease is increasingly affecting non-smoking women, particularly among white populations. They did 162,000 participants in this over 30 years. This is a long analysis on here.
You know, I've got a friend of mine who ended up with cancer of the mandible, the jaw.
Yeah.
And I'm curious as to this. And I also look at this too. I wonder if alcohol has a problem with that too.
It could have,
because alcohol, you know,
a lot of times people, when they drink alcohol too, especially with mixed drinks, they'll mix sodas with those.
Yeah, that's right.
Soda and alcohol together, which that's a horrible combination, by the way.
And it says that one key factor is that high fructose corn syrup is a common ingredient in many sugary drinks. Studies suggest that high intake of this could lead to periodontitis. A serious gum disease. It's the very bottom.
And it's right there. It says, for those who do not smoke much or consume much alcohol, regularly drinking sugary drinks increase their risk of oral cancer by more than four times.
Five times.
That's wild. So that even they're even taking that out. But you see here, the high fructose corn syrup is a common ingredient. Studies show the high intake is linked. Periodontitis is a serious gum disease.
It says high fructose corn syrup can cause quick spikes of blood sugar and disrupt the balance of mitochondria, bacteria in the mouth, not mitochondria.
Yep.
It's interesting.
Disrupt the balance of bacteria in the mouth. Well, and it does, too. And remember, as well, high fructose corn syrup is massively inflammatory to everything in the body, especially the liver.
And it's loaded with glyphosate.
Yes.
On top of everything else,
there is no organic high fructose corn syrup. It's all loaded with glyphosate. So it's interesting. Just another reason why to be very cautious. You know, if you got to have a soda one of these days, try to get one that actually has a cane sugar in it. There's a few of them on the market. You can still get them. Not recommended.
Can you believe we're actually saying that? But you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be much better off using cane sugar than high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah. There's one you can still get them. I saw one the other day. I was with somebody, and they were drinking a Coca-Cola, which I don't recommend, especially the phosphoric acid, but actually had cane sugar in it. It was a glass bottle. And I was shocked. I was like,
There was a shop up there in North Carolina that
had it. It's like a vintage Coca-Cola. They still make them apparently out of Mexico.
They do. And I remember the kids wanted to have one of those one time. And I looked at it. I said, it's got real sugar in it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we'll split one. Those guys taste it. And they didn't really care for it. And I thought to myself, well, that's good.
But if you're not used to drinking those, I've even talked to people that used to be heavy soda drinkers. All of a sudden, they'll try one after a year or so. And like, gosh, these are sweet. And I'm like, yes. I don't know how people chug them down all day.
I remember I had a friend of mine. I think it was Don. I won't use his last name, and he basically, every day he'd come home from school, his basically snack was to drink an RC Cola with peanuts in it.
That's every day?
I mean, no, that was what he ate. And he was only about 5 feet, you know, tall in high school.
Yeah.
And I mean, because that was, he ate junk all the time. And I remember I tried it one time. I said, well, I'm going to, I watched him do it. So I dumped a bunch of peanuts in the RC Cola, and I drank it. It tasted really good.
Yeah.
It did. It was great. I mean, it had a great fizzy taste to it, a little crunchy taste to it. It's phenomenal. I thought, wow. So I did it a little bit, not a lot. But then Don, basically his father died because his mother had died, and he moved in with his brother and his sister, and he grew like a foot and a half in like a four-year period eating with them, because his body was so malnourished. I mean, you can't eat this stuff and take these calories in and expect to grow from this. It doesn't work.
No, and remember, all that stuff, all the phosphoric acid leaches calcium out of the bone. Remember, Coca-Cola is so acidic. What is it? It's 2.3 or 2.8.
That's various. It'll clean a battery trunk.
Oh, yeah. The body actually has to leach calcium out of the bones to neutralize the acidity of the Coca-Cola in the stomach, which is another reason why a lot of people start having bone fractures and bone issues as they get older when they've drunk soda.
Yeah, because your body basically has to have calcium to neutralize the acidity.
Correct.
It really, really is important that you don't be drinking that stuff on a regular basis. In fact, I really don't think you should ever drink it at all. By the way, now they're trying, the car dealerships are contacting people who have bought used cars and asking to buy them back for a profit.
Oh, yeah.
Because the sales on the cost on used cars has gone through the roof now because of the tariffs.
They've gone up rapidly. Even American-based cars now are starting to go up as well. A lot of the markets are starting to change again on it. I was reading some stuff that was also going into detail how, especially the European models that are here, I've talked about how Audi was actually holding them at the port until this whole thing got handled with the tariffs. I guess they've released those cars now because there's a 90-day, basically a 90-day relief period on these tariffs while they're getting vehicles in. But it's going to be interesting because also, too, remember, even a lot of U.S.-made vehicles, some of them are assembled outside the country, like in Mexico. Ford has plants down there. But also a lot of the parts that they use to assemble these cars, even here in the United States, come from out of country. So it's going to affect some of the prices, even though the prices already have gone up entirely too much on some of these vehicles. It's definitely something to be aware of if you're in the automotive market. Just be aware of that. If you're buying a vehicle deal right now, make sure you're getting a really good deal on it because there's still a lot of deals out there. But don't fall prey to what a lot of dealers are doing right now. Oh, buy it before the tariffs hit. Get a deal right now before the tariffs hit. They're trying to talk everybody into paying these obscene prices again. Surprise.
Oh, by the way, an article just came out that said that basically toxic ingredient linked to cancer and autism discovered in brown rice. The scientists say it's time to rethink this healthy option. And what they're saying, there's a toxic metal found in this, and they got to really try to avoid it. And it says that the scientists found that children between the ages of 6 to 24 months who ate brown rice had approximately twice the estimated arsenic exposure compared to their consuming white rice. Now, whether this is true or not, I don't know. But, you know, arsenic exposure is extremely bad. But now they're trying to rethink about this as causing autism, and they're trying to take away the fact that these vaccines and the MMR shot are linked to autism. So a lot of this is really more of a, you know, more of a, how should I say, and how should I say, obfuscation as far as the real cause of the primary cause of autism, in my opinion, are the vaccines, period. Because you're getting heavy metal in there with aluminum and everything else that's causing neurological damage, period. And the autism can really mess kids up because they honestly just get, I could tell you stories, but of a kid that I know, well, he's not a kid now, he's like a 23-year-old man who's autistic, who's got some serious behavioral issues because of the autism. You kind of, it's kind of difficult to be around him. It's kind of hard to trust him. He likes to hit people, just walk up to him and just sucker punch him. And it's awful. And so, I mean, how do you deal with that when they're an adult and they've gotten really, 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 really strong? Oh, by the way, one other article in Daily Mail that came out says people really hate, you know, why do they hate vegans so much? I don't hate vegans.
I don't hate vegans.
No, and it says that the reason they hate vegans so much, they're jealous of the vegan because of the fact that they're only eating vegetables. And I'm like, wait a minute. You guys are like, you're like nuts. Why would you think anybody's jealous of a vegan? They're pencil necks, most of them. They're unbelievably sickly. They have all kinds of health problems. They've got to take supplements just in order to stay alive. And they look like they're always anemic, and they feel awful, and they lose all their muscle mass. I have no jealousy towards a vegan whatsoever, do you, Austin? I'm going to sit there and eat a big old steak and be happy with it. You know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I had beef brisket last night. It was great.
Oh, by the way.
It was not at Five Guys. Just thought I'd mention that.
Well, this is an interesting story. You guys remember this Ryan Wesley Ruth, the one that allegedly tried to assassinate Trump on the golf course.
Here we go.
Remember how this whole story, when Biden was in office, this whole story kind of disappeared? And all of a sudden, they weren't even bringing charges on him. It was like the whole thing went into limbo. Well, apparently now the DOJ is not allowing this to go into limbo. He has basically been charged now with first-degree attempted murder and terrorism in the state of Florida. And what's interesting about this, though, is there's another article that came out that got almost no coverage, and it got released, and it discussed how the DOJ brought in communication. It was encrypted messaging app that Ruth was in possession of him trying to acquire surface air missiles from Ukraine. Now, remember, he went over there to do alleged contract work. This guy had already been charged with possession of dynamite and terroristic acts. This guy worked allegedly with the CIA, but now they basically said that he's got all these requests. You know, send me RPGs, Stingers, see what you can get me. Trump is not good for Ukraine. Let me know what you can get me here. And then it goes into detail about basically how he's asking repeatedly for surface air missiles. And he says, since the war, these items are lost and destroyed daily. One missing would not be noticed. Trump's plane, he gets on and off daily. This whole situation with this guy is unbelievably strange. The fact now that they're tying this guy to Ukrainian contractors with possession of surface air missiles that he was trying to get, the whole story is weird. And again, it was ironic. When that happened, everything went dark on the entire story and the entire charges, everything about this Ruth guy under the Biden administration. I mean, they didn't want to bring anything up. They didn't get any coverage at all. So I figured I'd just throw that back out there, since a lot of people have wondered what happened with the whole situation. He's been charged now, and a whole bunch of more information has been found out about it.
I'm glad they finally charged. Well, it was a big cover up under the Biden administration.
And
DeSantis went after it.
No, they got like an indefinite continuance on the whole trial, everything about it.
No, he's CIA.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Everybody knows he's CIA.
Now they're finally, like I said, they found this phone message with these encrypted apps on it, with him discussing getting surface air missiles from Ukraine. He wanted to shoot down Air Force One.
So it looks like he basically
he's too much soy.
That's what I was going to say. How'd you know that?
I don't know. So
now, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to be ugly, but he kind of needs a bra. Is that gynomastia? Is he on some kind of hormones?
That's a horrible photo of him.
That's a terrible photo. I mean, that would be embarrassing.
Yeah, but anyway, I want to cover that because I found that to be a very interesting story with this guy, because it got completely buried under Biden. I mean, it was called an indefinite continuance, I think. It was like, we'll just figure it out one day.
Well, I've got to cover another mental candy story.
Okay.
Mother of two addicted to face fillers left deformed after her lips swelled into a beak and began to rot away.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I don't
a beak.
Well, this is some crazy photos.
I don't think I'm gonna post this at all.
But I'm just gonna talk about it. It's on the Daily Mail, and what it says basically, she got addicted to these. Her name was Nicole. She got addicted to face, you know, fillers and the lip fillers. And the problem is when these girls start doing this, and I hate to say this, they all start looking like the same person. And you start seeing them, and there's all these pictures of her. She's got all these horror stories about her lips and what they've done to her. And you know, and I understand that some women basically want to have their lips looking better. I got that, right? But there's a certain point when you got to ask yourself a question: how big is big enough?
Yeah, and
if they're running around looking like Daffy Duck, it's enough. It's way over sometimes. It gets real retarded. So it's just one of those things. I guess it's always that quest for beauty from Instagram, isn't it, Austin?
Yeah.
Because these influencers go in, they start doing all the stuff to themselves, and the girl goes, "Oh, those
Everybody
are great."
Everybody else wants to do it.
And so side effects, you don't know what's going to happen long-term-wise on some of the stuff. So be very, very careful if you decide you want to do some of the stuff. It's best just to just leave things alone and be as natural as possible.
This is another interesting mental
candy picture.
Article. I know Doge now just posts shocking data on unemployment insurance claims. Listen to this. Since 2020, they found individuals far too young under the age of 5 and far too old under the age of 15.
Cutest picture ever.
Yeah, apparently, you know, kids like this were getting unemployment benefits. They said 28,000 individuals between the ages of 1 and 5 collected $254 million in benefits. $254 million in benefits from ages 1 to 5. This, again, was another reason why I told you the entire thing during COVID was a gigantic scam. They were allowing a lot of this money to get floated through, and hence why the market went nuts. All this stuff started trickling down. But, yeah, the fraud knows no bounds in a lot of these situations right now that occurred. So that's why a lot of stuff's getting
But, again, it's $250 million. It sounds like a lot.
It's a lot to a normal person.
But when it comes to trillion-dollar budgets, it becomes – yeah, it's just –
That was the issue a lot of people were talking about when, you know – when Elon Musk came in, he said, we're going to cut $1 trillion. We're going to cut $2 trillion out. Dude, that is a significant amount of money. I mean, you start talking about cutting that kind of cash out, you're talking about a real contraction of a whole lot of platforms. So, again, something interesting.
Here's another interesting thing. It's saying basically that women now over the age of 40 are getting pregnant more than teenagers are.
Really?
I thought that was interesting because a lot of women are waiting until they get older to try to get pregnant. The problem is with that now, because of the increases in amount of in vitro fertilization, a lot of women in their 40s are being able to get pregnant. And a lot of women are also taking and storing their eggs, fertilized embryos, you know, in storage and then coming back and having them implanted in their 40s. By the way, all that stuff is extremely expensive, and most of it is not covered under insurance. But here's the top five factors that says damaging our society by killing marriage, the contractual obligation of marriage. You know, nothing says I love you as much as getting a marriage license from the state of Florida.
Give a license.
Wait,
jokes about that, but you think about it, it's not funny.
What did I say? You guys are asking, what did he just say? Nothing says I love you as much as having a legal binding contract with the state of Florida called a marriage license. Just thought I'd mention that. Number one, second wave feminists went after men in marriage. Wait a minute. This is the article of why they're not getting married. The form of feminism found still today on many university campuses preaches that marriage annihilates women, that marriage mainstreams rape, and that the demise of marriage should be generally celebrated. While this wholesale rejection of marriage never completely won the day, it has influenced our thinking. 2023 data shows that 51% of women between 18 and 40 are single, neither married nor cohabitating. 51%. These are startling statistics. Also in 2023, Pew Research Center reported 28% of men, compared with only 18% of women, said being married is extremely or very important for fulfilling life. Only 28% of men, only 18% of women. In other words, people are rejecting the marriage contract now. Number two, the divorce revolution. In 1969, Governor Ronald Reagan enacted no-fault divorce, and now it has made it through all the states and made it extremely easy to get divorced. Number three, the cohabitation revolution. A growing number of young adults live together before marriage or cohabit instead of getting married. This might be in part because of the way many couples enter cohabiting relationships. A psychologist, Scott Stanley, writes, couples slide into these relationships instead of constantly deciding to partner. When living together happens as a test or by accident, we begin to realize that the short-term nature is backed in. Number four, this is the reason that I'm reading this entire article, the decline of Christianity. An institution like marriage does better when supported by other institutional structures. When the religious sentiments are strong, it nurtures support for marriage by pointing to marriage as a good way to live, as the right way with God. Religious communities also tend to be sources of support by providing counseling and guidance for those experiencing trouble in their marriage. Therefore, it is not surprising that cohabitation is far more prominent in a place like Canada, which is less religious than the United States. In addition to promoting marriage as a norm, religious communities are also a place where young adults can meet one another. Now, I'm going to say one thing here, and I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to aggravate a little bit here with a few people here. After my wife died 3 years ago, I began to realize how totally inadequate it was to try to find somebody to date in a church because the church doesn't facilitate it at all over the age of the young college career classes, period. In other words, and you know if you're single, then I'm right. You can't go to a class that says anybody over the age of 40 can come here if they're single. They don't exist in churches that I've ever seen. And you think to yourself, why is that? I don't know. Maybe they're frightened. They don't want to turn the church into a dating center. I don't know. And I've not had one pastor of any mega church that I know actually tell me about anybody who's single or who needs to basically find a husband or a boyfriend or somebody to date. Not seen it once. It's my personal experience with this. And so it's frustrating to me that they're putting this in here as far as Christianity. But the reality is most Christian churches set up, well, you're in your 20s, you get married, and we support you through your marriage classes, et cetera, et cetera. But if you ever get divorced, you're on your own. And that shouldn't be like that. You should be able to go to church and find somebody who's single or who's never been married and not have to go through the rhetoric of trying to figure this out on your own without any support whatsoever from the people that lead the church. And number five, putting college and career first. Young adults are getting married later in life, if at all. For some, marriage is delayed as marriage is denied. Lower-income men and women are far likely to get married, making them more prone to miss out on the financial benefits of marriage. Financial benefits of marriage is a nebulous term, by the way. This all is partly because today too many people think of marriage like the icing on the cake, something to be done later after paying school debts and gaining career success. This presents a problem when you're successful enough to get married. Then we routinely wait to create lasting partnerships, so we view them as a possible barrier to other successes. Now, I've seen this through. This is true. I've seen this being single. A lot of women want to marry guys that are older, that are financially stable. In other words, if a guy's 22 years old or 21 years old and he's broke, he's not as attractive to that woman as a guy who's like 30 or 35 whose career established. So you see a lot of that too. But all I know is this. This is all brought to us, number one, through cultural Marxism, through the Frankfurt School. And it's caused a lot of this as far as hesitancy to develop a good relationship and get married and have children and follow the Christian principles on this. Just thought I'd mention, I want to cover that on today's show.
This one last throw I want to cover real quick. This is a big deal that's been hitting the food market. It's a synthetic milk protein. I want to get this guy's
out. I've not heard this before.
No, I haven't either. I was reading about it last night. I want to make sure I got to it today. I'll go into more detail on Monday. But the Organic Consumers Association is saying that the Perfect Day, that's the name of the company, Perfect Day, is marking its synthetic milk protein product, ProFirm, illegally misleading the public. It is synthetic milk protein by use at least by 10 different companies now on ice cream, cream cheese, and smoothies.
What are the companies that are using this?
I haven't got into it yet. There's a whole article I'm going to do more research into because this just came out this morning. But essentially what it is it's an animal-free dairy protein. So essentially it's a synthetic whey protein. Guys, the reason why we use the whey from New Zealand bovine, no hormones, no steroids, no antibiotics. This is a serious problem now because they're not disclosing it. Now they're getting a lawsuit for false, unfair, and deceptive marketing now.
It's just totally synthetic.
Fully synthetic. Absolutely, that's
got to have all kinds of toxicity.
Oh, yeah. So I'll get into detail more on this on Monday. But be careful. Read ingredients, my friends. Check labels on stuff. You guys have a strong, safe, awesome weekend. Grab the purple sticks, grab the Fit Food. Be sure to vote for Product of the Week and also grab the Vitamin C antioxidants on sale right now for Product of the Week at Team Health Masters. Appreciate you guys. Have an awesome weekend.
Oh, by the way, we're the family that you want to associate with. Just thought I'd mention that. Thank you for your support. I'm here for you. Office here for you. Email me, askdrtedd@yahoo.com. I'll be happy to send an email back to you. I love you guys and I appreciate you. Have a great weekend. I hope and pray you guys go to church. Remember, Jesus is always there for you and for me. I love you guys. Have a great weekend.